Hey, you want that to go?
To go, yes, because it's a Capitol Hill good news takeout that begins this segment. Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. The Senate has cleared an $18 billion jobs bill. There's bipartisan support. The president is expected to sign it, but $18 billion, Todd, feels like a drop in the bucket to me. I don't know.
Yeah, for the size of the unemployment problem that we have, you know, kind of is. Not to mention the fact that, John, this Senate bill did pass. It is ready to go to the president. They're calling it a jobs bill, and it is that. But, you know, they have some tax credits for new hiring. If you hire somebody who's previously unemployed, they have some money for highway funds to spur highway projects, some payroll tax relief, which is all a positive. There's a question, though, about how much new job creation this leads to, because it doesn't do anything to stoke demand. You know, it's one
thing. Unless, let's look at the one piece. Yeah. I mean, the centerpiece is the whole thing about saying to employers, we'll give you a break from your Social Security taxes. That's the FICA thing, right?
Right?
We'll give
right.
you a break from that if you can show that you hired people, right?
Right.
How many
yeah.
people are going to do that? We have no idea, right?
Right. We have no idea. And a lot of employers sort of, you know, you're reading out in the press and hearing from a couple people on the Hill and senators who weren't terribly thrilled with this bill, saying, yeah, it's one thing to give the tax break, but, you know, if you make, you know, your doorknob making business, if there's not any new demand for doorknob, if there's not
right.
any new clamoring for doorknobs, the tax break doesn't do a whole lot. Thanks for the tax break, but why would I hire if I'm not selling any more doorknobs?
In a recession where demand is depressed, you need direct job support more than these kinds of incentives. That's the economic argument there, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you need something to stoke demand. You know, highway projects may do that because once the building starts, you got to hire to do the building. The other stuff, a little questionable about actual job creation.
What's the political fallout from this? I mean, it seems to me, you know, a year ago, trillions of dollars, you know, tens of billions of dollars going to the banks, but only $18 billion for jobs. Does that come back to haunt lawmakers, Republican or Democrat?
I don't think so, because the demand now from the public, or at least as it's perceived on Capitol Hill, is for less spending, not more, John. But also on the job creation front, this is supposed to be only one in a whole series of jobs packages. Democrats are promising there will be many, many job creation efforts in succession. They feel like they can't do anything really big all at once right now because
cost containment is the issue.
Cost containment,
right.
And that's hue and cry from too much spending.
And that's the whole issue with the Congressional Budget Office. I mean, going over to health care reform for a moment, the Congressional Budget Office is going to issue its report on how much the health care reform bill in the House is going to cost, and that's critical
yeah.
to the passage. What kind of a number are they looking for?
Well, people are dying for that number right now. They're supposed to get it last night, and it didn't come out. And when I say dying for the number, it's because there's a new scheduling crunch. When that number comes out, there will be a starting gun of 72 hours. Right
uh-huh.
now, the healthcare bill will be voted Sunday at the earliest. We don't know exactly how big, but Democrats need to have that number under $1 trillion. In fact, they'd like it closer to $900 billion, of course, all paid for over 10 years, they say. And it's not just the number. It's also the policy that we're going to see. You know, who gets more help under this bill? What happens to the Medicare donut hole for grandma and grandpa's prescription drug costs? You know, all that stuff will be in there when we finally get it. Then they can start the clock to have a vote. Well, we're working Sunday, I'm sorry to say, but that's the way it is.
And Dennis Kucinich of the dark hair and leftist outlook is voting for this. He changed his vote. Is he low-hanging fruit or sign of a trend?
I think the former. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of feeling in the Democratic caucus that Kucinich's decision to flip from no to yes sent a lot of shockwaves or even ripples
right.
through the Democratic caucus. They have still a lot of heavy lifting with moderates and conservatives. He was low-hanging fruit.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, watching health care reform and everything else on Capitol Hill.
And now to our listeners for the next takeout. The big banks got a bailout from the government, and we're giving you a tips on how to bail out yourself, part of our 10-part series, DIY Bailout with contributor Beth Kobliner. But like the first step in any 10-step program, we focused on how to admit you have a problem. Why is it so
steps.
Hard? Well, we're only doing 10.
Well, in a recession, it's 10
yeah,
steps.
We've yeah. condensed.
Right, there we go.
So why is it so hard to talk about money?
I'm calling from Jones Island, South Carolina. My name's Annie. I lost my job at the end of December 2009, and my husband took a pay cut at the same time. We worked for the same firm. We went from $130,000 a year to $60,000 a year. It's been a good challenge, but we're up for it.
That is a huge change. Candor. Laura Candor. In Colorado posts to our site, thetakeaway.org, "We are deeply in debt, and since my husband has a hands-off approach to our finances, I feel I'm responsible for it all. I always feel like the bad guy when I tell anyone in the household that we cannot buy something or go somewhere."
Ricardo from Oklahoma City tells us why he thinks finances are a taboo topic. He says, "Could it be because we measure success based on financial wealth? If we don't have enough, we're not considered successful. If we make too much, we let people know, just not exactly how much."
You can take part, share your story, and be part of our series DIY Bailout on our website, thetakeaway.org. Next Wednesday, we'll have part two for you. How do you set a list of priorities when you're trying to get yourself out of debt? If you have a success story or anything else, share it with us at thetakeaway.org or call 877-8-MY-TAKE.
What do you pay first? What do you let wait?
Right.
We have strategies for you, and we want to hear yours. Also on our site, you can catch up on all of our census coverage. Later this morning, we're going to talk about how the government defines race and how
the possibility of the person being able to decide is something new.
That's right. It used to be the census determined what race you were. That's Nell Irvin Painter, author of The History of White People. We'll hear more from her later this morning. And if you've got a census story, tell us.
Hi, this is Derek from Oklahoma City. And when my wife opened up the census in the mailer, she sat down, started filling it out, and singing the national anthem. And then asked me if she was weird. So I don't know. You tell me.
She's fabulous. We love her. Derek, thanks for calling. We'll have our listeners do that for us. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. But when you fill out your census form, what are you thinking? Why are they asking me this? Give us your census critique, if you like, at 877-8-MY-TAKE and see other stories at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.